Hi, I'm Kevin Craig, and I'd like to show you how you can become a Christian anarchist. And I know most people, when they hear that, aren't thinking they want to know how to become a Christian anarchist. You're probably wondering, why would anybody want to become a Christian anarchist? And the answer is because by becoming an anarchist, you become a better Christian. And by becoming a Christian anarchist, you become a better human being. And if you live in America, I'd say you become a better American. Now, I'm selling a home study course on how to become a Christian anarchist, but you don't have to buy it. All you have to do is follow Jesus. Take him seriously. Some people might say take him literally, but he said a lot of things that you don't want to take literally, like when he said poke your eye out. I mean take him seriously. And take Jesus more seriously than you take the word of politicians and generals and law professors and defense contractor CEOs and people like that. Just take him seriously. Follow what he says. Do what he says to do. And what Jesus says to do is don't be an anarchist. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, he uses the Greek word. The New Testament was written in Greek. And Jesus uses the Greek word from which we get our English word anarchist. He says, don't be an anarchist. The English word anarchist comes from two Greek words, which means not an anarchist. So when Jesus says, don't be an anarchist, don't be the kind of person that is described by the word anarchist, he's saying, be an anarchist. Don't be the kind of person described by the word anarchist, be the kind of person described by the word anarchist. Now, this is confusing because today we think the word anarchist describes a person who's a bad person, a person who does not have Christian character. But what Jesus is saying is that it's the anarchists. The person described by the word anarchist is the person who does not have Christian character. The character of a Christian is a servant, Jesus says, not someone who rules over others. And what he means by that is, don't impose your will on other people by force. That's the bottom line. The anarchist is a person who believes he has the right to impose his will, make other people do what he thinks they should do, even if he has to threaten them with violence to get them to do what he wants them to do. That's what makes a person an anarchist. And Jesus says, no. Don't be an anarchist. Don't go around trying to force other people to do what you think they ought to do. And that's the definition of an anarchist. Don't hire people. Like if you want someone out of your life, don't hire someone to kill the person like a mafia hitman or an abortionist. Don't vote for people who promise you that if you vote for them, they will go around and hurt people and threaten people with violence if those people won't do what you want them to do. Don't vote for people like that. Don't be an anarchist. Don't hire anarchists. Don't vote for anarchists. That's what it means to be a Christian anarchist. I'd like to convince you that being a Christian anarchist means being the most virtuous person in society. The most virtuous person in society. And being an anarchist means being the most Christian person in a society, if you're taking Jesus seriously. Now, some people, they just won't even bother reading the rest of this website or listening to the rest of this audio unless they know who's talking to me. Who am I listening to? Where did you get your PhD from? Well, I don't have a PhD. So let me tell you a bit about my background, and hopefully you'll find it interesting enough that you'll want to continue to read this website. First of all, I take pride in the fact that I formed a nonprofit tax-exempt educational organization called Vine and Fig Tree, and there's a lot of information about that organization on this page. This page is actually basically a fundraiser for Vine and Fig Tree. It takes its name from the number of biblical verses which speak of the day we beat our swords into plowshares and everyone dwells securely under his own vine and fig tree. I have studied law and the Bible and government and politics for, well, a long time. I mean, at least since high school. I studied law. I have earned 2 law degrees, and I passed the California State Bar Exam, which I've been told is the toughest bar exam in the world. In the course of my legal studies, I found out some interesting things. First of all, during the first 100 years, in the 18th In the 19th century, the first 100 years after the Constitution was ratified, the United States Supreme Court said on numerous occasions that America was a Christian nation. However, those cases were all tossed out in the 20th century when the Supreme Court decided that we're not a Christian nation anymore, we're a secular nation or an atheistic nation. Secular sounds better than atheist. And as a result of that change, the United States Supreme Court has held that if you're a Christian and your allegiance to God or to Jesus or Jesus Christ, Christ means king, so if your allegiance to King Jesus is greater or takes precedence over your allegiance to the government or the Constitution, then you can't take the oath to support the Constitution, which all attorneys are required to take, public officials are required to take, dog catchers, certified elevator inspectors, a draftsman for the County of San Diego, most teachers. Now, these are some cases I run across. They're all required to take the oath to support the Constitution, but the courts have said they cannot be permitted to take that oath if their allegiance to King Jesus is greater than their allegiance to the government. So I said, well, that seems like a violation of the First Amendment, and I took the state bar to federal court, but the federal court agreed that I was prohibited from taking the oath to support the Constitution because my allegiance to God is greater than my allegiance to the government. My final brief before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out in California was written by three very well-known professors of constitutional law, two of whom authored the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was passed by Congress, and a California State Supreme Court justice. But I lost anyway. So it turns out you can't even become an American citizen if you were born in a foreign country and your allegiance to Jesus is greater than your allegiance to the government. In other words, like the apostles said in Acts 5, verse 29, they were ordered to stop preaching the gospel about King Jesus. And they said, nope, we can't do that. We'll do anything else you want, but we can't do that because God commands us to preach the gospel. And they said, we must obey God rather than man. And if that's your attitude, then the United States Supreme Court has said that you cannot take the oath to support the Constitution. Well, after discovering all that, I joined a Christian anarchist movement. A couple of friends and I, we rented a 12-room house in a bad part of town. And we put the word out on the street that anybody who wanted to get clean and sober and look for a job, save up first and last month's rent for a place of their own, could come and stay at our house. We served lunch in our dining room, a big dining room. About 30 people at a time could squeeze into our dining room, and we got to know the people who were interested in staying in our house. And when we thought a match, then we let them stay. And the better part of a decade, I was living with an average of 19 homeless people 24/7, and just trying to do something to help in a way that did not involve government aggression against people. I didn't ask the government to go out and take money from people or threaten to lock them up in prison. We didn't take any government money at all. We subsisted on donations and dumpster diving. That's not a very nice way of saying we got some food from restaurants and grocery stores if it went past the expiration date or something like that. Anyway, there's something about who I am. I have accumulated over the years a 10,000-volume library, and I'm hoping to be your personal life coach. As I said earlier, I know we've all been trained to believe that anarchists are bad people, and I think it's absolutely vital that as human beings, to say nothing of being Christians, but if you're not a Christian, just as a human being, we need to realize that that is the exact opposite of the truth. The truth is that if you're a true anarchist, you're a good person, and if you're an archist, you're a bad person, and you're the cause of many problems if you're an archist. The word anarchist, it means not an archist. We've all been trained anarchists are bad. None of us have ever heard the word archist, so I'm trying to use the word archist to bring about a contrast in the way that you think. And I believe that if you understand this basic contrast between the archist and the non-archist, the anarchist, then you can not only change yourself in a profound way, but you can begin to change the world. This is the big change I think the world needs, to understand that archists are bad. We don't want archists. So I'll come back in a few minutes with another audio if you're clicking on audios. Otherwise, what will actually happen is your audio player will just go ahead and start playing the next audio. But I'd invite you to pause or hit the stop on your player and just wait until you come to the next audio link.